This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Beyond Natural Pet Food. Beyond Pet Food helps me care for what matters, my pets and my world. They help me nourish my pets with high-quality natural ingredients, like wild-caught salmon and organic free-range chicken. Beyond also has responsible sourcing practices and a long-term partnership with the Nature Conservancy. Beyond Pet Food, your pet, your world. Learn more at beyondpetfood.com.
Hey, this is Johnny Hawkins with Nothing More, and you're tuned into Side Jams with Brian Reisman.
Greetings, everyone. This is Brian Reisman with Side Jams. In our episode today, we have the frontman and lyricist for Papa Roach, the artist formerly known as Kobe Dick, serial killer in The Retaliators,
yes,
and perky role model for his children. He does all of those things and more. Jacoby Shaddix.
Yo, what's up, B? How you living?
I'm good, man. It's great to chat with you again.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for having me, man. For real.
Last time I saw you at the Who show, the HU, that Who, in Bowery Ballroom in... What did you think of that show, by the way?
Oh, it's great, man. I had actually just... We shot a music video the day before for my feature on the song Wolf Totem with those guys.
Yes.
And so I got to hang with them the day before and kind of rap with them and get to know them a bit. And then being able to see them live and pull off what they do is, it's just so unique, so rad, so different, so fun, such a good vibe. And Bowery was the perfect place to see that. You know, that was a great night.
And you guys, I mean, it's interesting. We chatted recently for Grammy and we've done a lot of other interviews over the years. Yep. And I noticed you guys, unlike some bands, you haven't gone through that period where you split up and did nothing. You've literally just been recording and touring for like a quarter century, pretty much.
Yeah.
So I know that I was going to ask you, what are we going to chat about for Side Jams? And it clearly, very clearly, when you're not rocking it indoors, you really need to get outdoors. Like, you like to get away from everything. So you like to go canoeing. And I think you used to do marathon running, too.
Yeah, man. Running has been an integral part of my physical health, as well as my mental health. That was something through the pandemic that really, like, it helped me out. Right when the pandemic had set in, I was in good shape at that point, and everything was shut down. I was like, well, at least I can go outside. And I had these trails along this river where I live in Sacramento, the American River, and I would just go out on those trails and run long runs every day. It was just like a way to get away, listen to music, come up with ideas, make sense of what was happening in my life and the world. And, you know, for me, it's like, I get in this, it's almost like this trance in a way. And I'm not a fast runner. You know, I'm like 10 minute mile, sometimes a 9 minute mile, but right around that 10 minute mile, I'm just cruising, just breaking that sweat. And it's like, it brings me peace. Whenever I get done with that thing, with that run, whether it's 3 mile run or whether it is 5, 6, 8, 9, 10 mile run, there's a peace that comes over me. And I'm the type of guy that I'm pretty tightly wound, and it's a good thing. And so it's just been a great way for me to stay healthy, but then also for my brain. You know, it gets me outdoors. I need the sunshine on my face. I found that, you know, when I'm indoors all the time, it's not good for my mental. And so getting that blood flowing, getting my body moving has been key. You know, I've done one marathon in my life, and I was slow as hell, but that didn't matter. I finished it. You know, but after I did that, I was like, all right, cool. I did that. I don't know if I necessarily need to do that again. Pretty recently, to be forthright and honest, I ran myself into submission. Like, before About a month ago,
Really?
yeah, I ran my body into like I messed myself up because I wasn't stretching and I was running, six to
Yeah.
nine. I was running 6 to 9 miles every day for like almost 3 weeks straight. I was just like, I'm just getting it, and I kind of get in these obsessive rhythms sometimes, and it's not necessarily not always healthy. And I literally, it was weird, man, because I mean, I'll be straight. I was like, I felt like somebody had kicked me in my balls, and it was like that for like 24 hours a day. And I went to my
Oh.
doctor, and he's like, dude, your body's like so tight and so seized up that you need to do something different, bro. You need to get into like some yoga. And so recently I've been doing yoga, and that's kind of, and I'm terrible at it. I'm totally not
Downward
flexible.
dog, all
It
that stuff.
all that, dude, it hurts. I'm it's I It's not graceful. It doesn't look good, but it's necessary. I don't feel like I've been kicked in my balls anymore, which is good. And so for me, I'm one of those people, I kind of struggle with balance. I think that's one of my struggles in my life as
Yeah.
I learn more about myself and my tweak, my I guess my idiosyncrasies or, and so balance is something that I'm trying to strike, and I got to be aware of it. So I don't want to be obsessively running just so I'm trying to escape something. And another thing that I've discovered too is running without music. That was a turning point for,
Really?
yeah, running without music. I ran with music. I go in spurts with and without. But running without music, I've found is if I really don't want to run, I force myself to go do it and I won't take the music. I'm like, all right, I got to see if I'm mentally tough enough to go do this. And so I don't know if it's me just testing my mental toughness or whatever or what I got. But I've found that as I've done that, the negative self-talk loop just disappears. It's like I'm able to
Without the
work.
music.
Yeah, man, it's like I'm able to work through, because I'll put music on and then it's like all of a sudden I'm comparing my career to somebody else's career and I'm comparing my record sales to their record sales and I'm like, oh God, and I'm trying to do this running thing, and I'm like, all right, this ain't working. And so running without music has been very good for me. I could just work out whatever type of issues I got going on in my mind, and I come back and I'm like, okay, cool, I'm clear-headed, I'm ready to go. And so yeah, man, running has been a really important thing to my in my life, and getting outdoors in general is important. And over the pandemic, I was like, well, over the pandemic, I realized I didn't have hobbies. I realized that about my life. I was like, people ask me like, what are your
Like
pa
nothing.
yeah, what are your passions? What are your hobbies? And I'm like, playing music, like it's that's that, and when the pandemic set in, I was like, I gotta find a damn hobby. And I'll just kind of take you on a little journey through the things that get me off. Running is one of them. Obviously, I just yapped about that for a while.
Yeah.
But also outdoor life, man. I got myself a canoe, and I got my little dude a little paddle board. And we got this place called Lake Natomas that's right up the way from my place. And that is just the get out there, get on the water, get the sun on your face, and just paddle around, find a cool place, have a little picnic for a minute, get back out on the water, paddle up to the rocks. We climb these rocks, jump off the rocks into the lake. Like it's just getting in touch with nature is, it's healing to me. I feel it puts me in a sense of peace, in the rigmarole of everyday life. I'm not riding a kayak, down a crazy river. That's not what I'm doing because I'm not advanced like that. Who knows? Maybe in the future, but for me, it's just like putzing around this little lake and getting out there. And also, fishing too. We fish off the kayak. We do that. That's been a good little thing to. I used to do it on the road. I don't do it on the road much anymore. But yeah,
Lizzie Hale likes to fish. She's posted a bunch of photos of her.
Oh man,
she finds that really peaceful.
It is, man. It's a good vibe, dude. It just kind of, I think, to be able to slow the pace of life down every once in a while is important. And then lastly, I like outdoor yard work. It sounds kind of weird, but I like getting my hands in the dirt. I like planting plants. Huh. I like taking care of my yard. And that's been something that I've really loved. And I've watched my father-in-law do gardens year after year after year. And I've always wanted to do a garden. Kind of sounds goofy, but I'd love to do that at some point. It's just my touring life is like, I can't do it when I tour all the time. So that's like my retirement life that I see down the road will be, you know, probably growing some of my own food, which would be freaking cool. Cause my parents did that way back in the 70s, man. We had gardens and big old gardens and that's how we ate.
Right. It was funny. Cause like my brother and my mom would have the vegetable garden in the back of our house outside of Boston. And so we did the vegetable stand thing. That was like the classic American kid thing to do back in the '70s and '80s. So vegetables, and someone with the paper comes and takes your photo because you're like a little entrepreneur.
Yeah, that's right.
You moved around a lot as a kid too. And you had a lot of really interesting circumstances. Yep. So you learned to survive in a different way, I think, than a lot of other kids.
Yeah, man. Adapting to new environments was always something that I had to do because we did move around so much when I was a young kid. And I think that helped me become a bit more outgoing because I had to, or I wouldn't have friends. You know, I just like put myself out there and I moved around a lot. And so I was always the new
kid. You guys lived in a teepee at one point too, right?
Yeah, man. When I was a little teeny guy, man. I was probably 3 years old, 4 years old at this time. And, yeah, man, my parents were hippies. They were living off the beaten path and were just living bohemian hippie life. And, it's kind of funny because my mom would tell me stories. She's like, yeah, I was like, well, what about like when we needed to go to the bathroom? Like, cause I don't remember all these things. Like I had my mom like refresh my memory. You know, my mom was like, well, we would actually dig like a long trench. Like we'd have a little spade shovel and dig a trench, you know, 5-6 foot. And then you just squat over the trench, handle your business, and then kick the dirt on top of your business. And then, you know, you'd go down and that trench would be there. And then a little farther away, because it wouldn't smell, you know, a little farther away, you dig that next trench and that's where you handle your business. And you know, we live by a little creek and my dad had like dammed up part of the river and that's where we bathed. And, you know, we just had this like little tub right there. Well, not tub, but we called it the tub and that's where we bathed.
Yeah.
And, man, we use this soap that I still use to this day. It's called Dr. Broner's. And you could do everything with this soap. You could wash your hair. You can brush your teeth with it. You can wash your body with it. You can wash your floors with it. You can wash your car with it. It's all natural, you know? So like some of those like bohemian hippie elements had, I brought them on with me in my life, but you know, I like the hairspray though, dude, you know what I'm saying?
That's your 80s thing.
Yeah, you that's, like my to 80s. Sure that's my poison shining through.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You take your youngest son, right? When you're talking, you're going canoeing.
Yep. He's a little adventurous child. Actually, my older boys too, man. When I just left on tour, they were like, hey, could we take your canoe out? I'm like, dude, drive it like you stole it, man. Go have fun. Get out there. Just don't drown. So, and they've hit me up. Mikhail hit me up already. And he was out on Lake Natomas in my canoe. And he's like, or not canoe, kayak. Sorry. Same difference to me. I'm not too particular about it, but he's like, this is awesome, dad. I'm like, I know, I've been trying to get you out on the water for a minute, dude. And so I think now I got him hooked. Plus it's like, you can get ones that are where you can put your fishing pole in. You can paddle them with the ones that you can paddle with your feet. Like there's a lot of stuff. My kids are into the outdoors. And so that'll be something that we can share together for years to come.
What's the difference in sort of the zen of like running as opposed to say the zen of canoeing? That's the difference for you in terms of finding that inner peace.
Running is, I'm working through, I'm coming up with solutions. I'm coming up with ideas. I'm silencing voices. I'm in this kind of trance space in a way.
Okay.
Whereas when I'm out there on my little kayak, it's like, I'm just taking in the moment. I'm just in the moment. And I think that that is, that's important to me. Snow skiing does the same thing to me. It's like, it puts me in the moment. So many times in this life where I just find my mind wandering in places that it just doesn't need to be wandering to. And so if I can have something like kayaking, right, where it just puts me in the here and the now, that's where I can find peace. I'm like, that mindfulness is just, it's good to be in. It's a lot of noise in this world, so it gives me an opportunity to get out there and just not be around it. And not that I want to isolate and disconnect from the world because it's too crazy or whatever. It's just, it's good to get a reprieve from the rigmarole and the pace of everyday life.
I mean, I'm assuming you've had some sort of developed some sort of discipline over the years. Otherwise, you'd probably pop a gasket. And
oh yeah, man. I mean, it's about trying to strike this balance and in this crazy world, this crazy life, and finding things like running, even meditation, where I can just quiet the noise is important. Because I was doing it in other ways in the past, right? I was drowning myself in booze, self-medicating, and not wanting to cope with reality. And that's just no way to live. And so I choose to find healthier paths in my life to kill the noise. Another thing I've realized is a lot of people, including myself, have a tendency to ruminate on negative stuff. And sometimes I feel like we got too much time on our hands to just sit around and think. And sometimes I just have to get up and do. And some of my best days have been days that I've just been incredibly busy throughout the whole day. And I'm exhausted and I'm tired at the end of the day. And I'm like, that was an amazing day, because I didn't sit around and just think about me all the time. And so I try to find, ways to keep busy. Not so I'm trying to escape something, but it's just modern society has given us a lot of conveniences, which have afforded us a lot more time to sit and ruminate. And so just trying to find that balance,
So skiing, how often do you go skiing?
Oh, dude, well, that's a winter sport for me, obviously. So when the winter months come around, it's like I try to get up there on the hill at least a few times. I didn't start skiing until after I quit drinking. I had to find something to replace
golf. A good thing.
Yeah, something to replace golf, because all I would do was go golf and get hammered. And so I was like, all right, if I'm not going to golf, I got to find a new hobby. So snow skiing became that. And I live right close to Tahoe, so it's about an hour. Well, I moved down the hill a little bit farther, so it's like an hour and 15 from my house. But I'm right at great skiing right up the way. And that for me is just another thing that puts me in the moment. It's just, the only problem with skiing is it's fucking expensive. That's like, it's just too fucking expensive. It's like, now I know why I didn't when I was younger, because it's just,
And my family didn't do it when I was younger, but I went on an exchange trip to Spain in high school for 3 weeks. And they put us up with these very wealthy people. Like, holy crap, these people have tons of money. And my family had a house in Andorra, which is this little country between Spain and France and the Pyrenees, essentially. Okay. And they wanted to go skiing, but unfortunately it was really slushy. And they figured a first-time experience, not a smart thing.
Yeah.
And talk about freaky outdoor experiences. We were going to meet some friends, their friends, for dinner, and it was raining, and they were going down a dirt road on the side of this mountain. And I just felt like the thing was just going to start falling apart. I'm like, these people are nuts.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. And they're like, yeah, no problem, man. No worries. Great. So the yoga and meditation thing is more recent, I guess, for you.
Yeah. meditation has been part of my life for about the last 10 years, intermittently. You know, I'll go okay. on a run where I'm meditating regular, and then I won't do it for 6-8 months. And then I'm like, I'm spinning out again. Maybe I should just pause and reflect and just be again. And so it's been a healthy thing for me. But the yoga thing is definitely new. It's like, I laugh at myself every time I try.
I heard it's harder than you think. It's not like you just go and do these positions and like it's.
It isn't. It is the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life. It's
really
because it's incredibly well. It's painful because I'm so locked up. But it's like other people thought. Oh, this will be easy. Like it's just you're holding these poses and you're just standing there and you know doing warrior one, warrior two, you know, and it, once you're holding these triangle pose, then I'm doing that thing for a while and I'm like, oh God, I'm sweat drip. I'm profusely sweating and I can't hold some of these poses for longer than like 10, 15 seconds, 20 seconds. And it's not like I'm doing crazy advanced yoga. I'm like beginner style. I'm just like a little baby yoga boy.
Is there any general fitness routine that you have beyond running?
I had a trainer for about 8 months that I just recently stopped going to because now I'm out on tour. And it was really good to do some weight training. That for me was awesome. That was just to build strength in my body. And then I, once I quit going to my trainer, then I started running insanely and that's when I got hurt. So now I'm like, I'm always trying to find some way to, you know, stay healthy or stay sane without using, you know, substances.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny thinking about like running with your knees because I heard it gets harder on your knees as you get older. I mean, you yourself, I think, talked recently in an interview about the fact that you were on stage and the guy's like, be careful of these monitors because like you could you hurt yourself. And what did you, so it was like this at a weird angle?
Yeah, man, I went out on there was these big old sub speakers in front of the stage. He's like, oh, do you want me to tape them off? I'm like, don't worry, dude, I'm fine. I'll just roll out there. Well, I roll out there, I'm dancing around, dude, roll my fucking ankle right on in the little hole where the grip is to like grab the speaker. Rolled my ankle, I'm hobbling around on stage. It still kind of hurt a little. I could still go do my thing, but it's achy still. And this was like a month and a half ago. And so I rolled it pretty good. Anytime I get injured as an adult now, it's not like I was 15 years old and just roll your ankle and you're good the next day. My time is limited. My time to get rad is limited. So I got to pace my get rad.
You're a hyperactive front man. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, what's it going to be like at 60 years old? I mean,
I'll still be a fucking spaz, dude. I still will. That's just who I am.
Yeah, you like it. You enjoy it. This is good.
It's who I am, mate.
Right on.
But hey, man, it was great chatting with you, dude. I got to bounce. I got to hit catering because it's coming to that time. And it was right great on. Chatting with you, O'Brien, for real.
Yeah, it was good. Thanks again. And we'll hopefully we'll chat soon.
Oh, we will.
Something else.
I'm sure we will. And maybe I'll have new hobbies by then.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.